In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I ask everyone, let's just bow our heads and say a little prayer. Lord Jesus, you speak to each and every one of us in a unique way. We pray as we look at the scriptures today that you may speak to our hearts. Grant us the grace to conform ourselves to the Father's will. And we ask this in your holy name. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, our Lord challenges us today in the gospel about the cross. And so I have these three things: accept it, embrace it, and place it. We have to accept the fact that there's crosses in life and trials and difficulties, sometimes unexpectedly. Just because we were lining up for Mass there, a hornet came and stung Deacon Doug in his hand, but he said he's not allergic. So I'm watching him that it is okay. But we have to accept there are crosses in life, many times unexpected. And then to make an act of the will to accept it, and then most importantly, placing it in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And we do that most importantly through our prayers, but especially here at the Mass, placing it on the altar. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, if anyone wishes to come after me, how many here wish to come after Jesus? All of us. We want to be in the kingdom of heaven, right? Come after me. Well, Lord, where are you going? I'm going to heaven. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So let's look at a couple things in the sentences. I'm going to share a few words of Blessed John Paul II, a couple things from the saints, especially the scriptures about rejoicing in that, and the benefits from the cross. Now, our Lord said he must, we, all of us, individually, we have to deny ourselves, die to self. Because Pope John Paul II said, the human being has a deep-rooted tendency to think only of self. Where we have to die to self, that's through the cross. So we must deny ourselves. And then our Lord says, take it up. It means take an act of the will. Pope John Paul II said it shouldn't just be like an ornament, but something we actually pick up and embrace and act of the will. Then he says, his cross. That each and every one of us has a particular unique cross that God has given to us. You may look at two people, their crosses exteriorly may seem the same, but one soul maybe will have a greater threshold of pain. So only God sees the depths of the cross that each and every one of us has. But all of us have a unique cross because each and every one of us is unique. Then our Lord says, daily. Do you ever have like one trial or difficulty, maybe raise your family and get over a hurdle? Oh, you take a breath. Okay, things are going good. But it seems like there's something else just coming up on the horizon. So our Lord says, daily, if you do this, you're following me and you'll enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, the saints. And this is something when I go through the scriptures and I see this. It's really incredible. So many scripture references relate to the cross and suffering, and they say rejoice and find joy in that. It's such a contradiction. The only way we could fathom that is through the eyes of faith. So I'll give you just a couple examples. St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. He says, chapter 1, verse 24, now I rejoice in my sufferings. What? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. In this to rejoice, you may have to suffer through various trials. Acts of the Apostles, look at this. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Peter and some of the other apostles were preaching Christ. They were arrested and they were beat, they were whipped, they were flogged for that. So they left the presence of the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they had been found worthy to suffer for the sake of his name. And St. Paul again, Romans chapter 5, verse 3, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, etc. And the last one, James chapter 1, verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. What? You have St. Luke and the Acts of Apostles, St. Peter, you got St. Paul, St. James, all these saints. And then even outside of Scripture, all the saints say that. It's like, what do you mean rejoice? Because they saw the value of the cross. They saw it had great power if it was embraced. If you're living in a state of grace and difficulties come, you give it to Christ, it has enormous power. There was a speaker I heard a couple weeks ago, and his name's Ralph Martin. Perhaps you've seen his television show on EW10 or read some of his books. Well, when he came to the faith, he was in college, it just blew him away. And he was really worried because he had siblings, I forget, maybe five or seven siblings, who are away from the faith. So you know what he said? He said, I realized the power of the cross. So he said, I didn't sleep in the bed. I slept on the floor. I offered that cross to the Lord. I'm going to sit on the floor until my brother comes back. Guess what? That brother came back. Short time, maybe 2 weeks. Then he did it again for another sibling, for a sister. And one by one, offering that up. So we have problems and difficulties, contradictions. If united in Christ and in the state of grace, it has power to transform not just ourselves. We spiritually mature, when we grow in patience, we grow in humility, we grow in empathy and other people's suffering, but also we can transform others. We give that God, I offer this up, the conversion of my children, my grandchildren, the conversion of some friend that's at the workplace. Now, following Jesus Christ, at times we can be discouraging. Yet the first reading, the prophet Jeremiah, he says, you duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. And he goes on, as the Lord asks him, Elijah to preach, I have a message you're going to give to the people of Israel. Okay, I'll do it. But after he did it, guess what happened? All the day I am an object of laughter. Everyone mocks me. He's sort of down the dumps. And then he said this, I said to myself, well, I'm not going to mention him. I'm not going to speak his name no more. Forget it, Lord. The price of following you, do it if you want, it costs too much. But then he says, but then it came like a fire burning in my heart, imprisoned in my bones. I grew weary holding it in, I could not endure it, and I had to go out and do what God wanted me to do. And there was a punch to that. Now, St. Paul's letter to the Romans, he says, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, dying to self. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Lord, that every breath I take is in, every beating of my heart, everything to you, everything as a sacrifice. So you're going to be transformed in itself. The renewal of your mind. Pains and suffering, all of us, we naturally have a aversion to it. Because God, in His original plan, did not allow any of us to suffer. But we're working with plan B. One priest once he held up the Bible, he held the page of Genesis and said, here's plan A. But our first parents rejected it, so we, and then the rest of the Bible, here's plan B. And plan B has a cross. Now, Pope John Paul II, he goes on, he said, following Christ, in these words of the gospel, denotes the radicality of choice. He says, many, this is the main requirement to follow Christ fully, with our whole heart, everything. Many have held back from following Christ because of that. And he said, there are not two paths, but only one. The one trodden by the master, and that's the Calvary. And he goes on, to deny oneself is to give up one's own plans, which are often small and petty, in order to accept God's plans. He said, this is the path of conversion. And he says, again, like I said before, the human being has a deep-rooted tendency to think only of self. So crosses come, we stop, if we make that intention, to be united with Christ, great graces. It is the way to the happiness found in calling Christ right to the end. And sometimes bad circumstances in daily life. It is the way that does not fear failure, difficulties, isolation, loneliness, because it fills our hearts with the presence of Jesus. It is the path of peace, self-control, and a joyful heart. So you see, the bigger the cross, the bigger the place the Lord is filled with His presence in your heart. Now, at this conference I was at a couple of weeks ago, one of the speakers was important from the priest at least from time to time to share some personal experiences with the faithful. So I'm going to share this. It's about the cross. It was summer of 1998. And it's a seminary. You always have an assignment in the summer at a parish or maybe at the chancellor office room or whatever. Well, anyway, it was summer 1998, I had the privilege and grace of Father John Carter, died in 2000. He's a servant of God, which will soon be the Adam, and eventually Canada, who will be praying, having masses on his honor. So I'm with the servant of God, John, Father John A. Carter, Jesuit of 1998. And so on the very first day I got there, it was a rough day, downtown Detroit. I pull up, and there's someone walking across the street with a gun. It is rather kind of convenience for them. Whoa! So I pull out the bags and place them on the stand. Guess what? There's a fence going all along the back lane. And this fence had this barbed wire coiled like this, going all the way around. And I think, oh, okay. And then, it was that particular summer in Detroit, they broke all these records, like the days were 90 plus temperatures and 90% humidity. And there was no air conditioning. And in my cabin, I would have like the salt tanks. First couple of days, I'm like, what is all this? We have the temperature conditions with bad neighborhood, people with guns going around, they're rotting, there's barbed wire. And Father John Carter, there for this evening, he was going up giving a talk up north, about an hour, hour and a half. So, people, a gentleman, his name's Dan, he picked us up, we went up on the Harding Gate, his talk. As we come back, we dropped him off first at the judgment rectory, then Dan drove me back to drop me off at this monastery. This was probably about 11 o'clock at night at this point. But before I left, they told me in the monastery, here's the combination for the first door to get in. So I wrote that down, made sure I had it in my head. And then there's a second door inside. It's the second door will leave unlocked. So if you have a combination, you go through the second door, then when you come in, lock that second door. You know, tighter security there by a neighbor. So I do that, open the door, next door, it's locked, I can't get in. I don't have a cell phone or anything. So I start knocking on the door. This monastery probably goes up three or four floors, and they must have been on the top floor. They didn't hear me at all. Bring the door home, only answer. So after about 20 minutes, I'm like, wow, this is, what am I going to do? I had my keys in my pocket, so I got into my car. Now, this is still downtown Detroit, and Gratiot Avenue. So I get in my car, and I think, well, I'll go to a gas station, get in a payphone, I'll call the monastery there, put someone out, and I'll get the door open. So anyway, I put this gas station, I'm looking for change, and I had a call someone come back to Chicago, get the phone. I called, there's no answer. I asked him on the phone, there was a game that walks by, about the distance from where the part of was on right here. And they were saying all these things, we're in a black castle. And the Holy Spirit said to me, don't say anything back to them. And I didn't. I probably remember the last time that I did. But they kept walking, saying what they were saying. Well, anyway, so my other friend in Chicago said, okay, well, I'll try calling them and everything. So I'm going back, and I really had to use the restroom. So I stopped at another place, and this big, big gentleman came up to me. So do you have any money? I'm thinking, oh boy, this guy can just crush me. I don't know if he has a concealed weapon. So I figured, well, I just give him $10, maybe $50. So I said, well, here's $10. That's sort of a piece, and that was it. Then I asked for directions. Well, I thought maybe I could find a motel or something just for that night. It's really late. It's after probably 1 a.m. now. So as I go down to downtown Detroit, I had something they call it cruising. I never experienced this before. These cars go about 1-2 miles per hour. It's jank, bumper-to-bumper traffic, and they all have their radios blasting. And I'm like, what? My first initial reaction, well, what's all this traffic? And then I realize this is intentional. Well, I'm stuck in this probably for 45 minutes before I get out of it. I'm like, oh boy. And then as I get out of that, I'm driving, well, I just got to get back to my house. Maybe the person got through the unlocked the inside door. A car came out of nowhere on my right and hit the side of my car. So I get out, there's a bar across the street, all these big gangs out there. And I'm over there getting the license plate for them. This is just one thing after another. My headlights hanging down, and nothing going those sorts of action. We get back to the monastery. Well, they eventually, someone had gotten the necessary man knocked the door and I was able to get in. It was probably 2:30 in the morning. And I didn't sleep all that night. It was hot, during the first evening there. I said, you know what, Lord? I'm just going to call the seminary and say, you know what? It's not working out by a possible. This is going to be another possible. I'm going to go to Chicago, and then you tell me where I should go, and that'll be it. But somehow, God's great mercy, he got me to stay. This is so rough, it's the first day. And the whole conditions I've ever had. And if I thank God for this day, that he gave me the grace that crossed and to persevere, I received tremendous, tremendous graces that summer. Especially seeing the witness of the servant of God, Father John Carter, who had died himself as a servant of God and blessed in Canada.
All of us have crosses in life. And they're all opportunities to grow in sanctity. So many crosses we have and have to fall right through our fingers. So many graces we're passionate. So when crosses and difficulties come, let me get some of my obedience before management this country. Say, Jesus, I place this in your sacred heart. I place this in convenience. I place this nasty person, etc. I place it in your sacred heart. May much good fruit come from it. And it will, through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.